hope you enjoy this message from Eastside C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
I love that last chorus or verse or whatever it is, the bridge of that song that says, I'm not enough. I'm not enough unless you do something. How does it go? You beat me here again. I don't actually remember the kupu, but I remember the vibe. And I remember thinking, yeah, it's true. Half of the gospel, and this is the half that, you know, seems to offend us, is we don't have it all together, do we? We don't have it all together. We simply desperately need a saviour. And the beauty of the gospel is not that we're wretched sinners, but he is a glorious saviour. He is a glorious saviour. All right, turn in your Bibles or flick on your screens to James chapter 4, verses something. Verse 8, we're going to start with verse 8. All right. And as my tradition is over the last 2 weeks, we're going to start off with the Māori translation of James chapter 4, verse 8, and then we will move into the English translation. Chur. Thank you, Lord, for your word planted in our hearts tonight. Give us ears that we might hear and eyes that we might see and do something amazing in us. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 8. Whakatata ata ki te atua. A ka whakatata mai ia ki a koutou. Horoia o koutou ringaringa e te hungahara. Meinga o koutou ngākau kia hekori e te hunga ngākau rua. Draw near to God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you filthy sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, I love it. I love it. I've often used this verse to say, hey guys, we're in a moment of worship, draw near to God. In fact, I wanted to tonight when I got up. I wanted to be like, draw near to God, it will draw near to you, amen. And it's so good. But I love what's around this verse, and I want us to look at that tonight. And it's so good. Okay, there's a whole bunch going on. If we go through, I think we're going to start. Let's just zoom back for a moment. We're going to get into verse 8 specifically, but we're just going to zoom back to, I should probably open this other Bible too so I can follow things a bit better. Okay, all right. Verses 6 in the same chapter. But he gives more grace. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. All good. So I want to address a couple of issues. First of all, there's a biblical idea, and it's really biblical, that God is with us always. And you guys probably know some off by heart, because they're really good to know. Sometimes life gets you like, God's got to be with me, God be with me, God be with me. And throw some verses at me. What's some verses that God says God is with us always? He will never leave you or forsake you. He is with you always, even to the end of the ages. Amen. There's other verses. There's a verse in the Psalms that says God is, he's your very present help in times of trouble. He's like very close to you. God promises to be with you always, which is really cool, which is amazing. So, and this actually got talked at my Connect group a few weeks ago. We sort of like got randomly brought up, like, what's that about? Does it mean God was away from you for a bit? Like, you know, you're going to draw near to God? And I hope that we can address that tonight. Okay, first of all, in verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I enjoyed being refreshed in reading this in Māori this week because if we go back to the Māori translation, please, Kian. And I just want to acknowledge Kian tonight. He's doing AV for the very first time tonight, the very first time. And I only asked him 5 minutes before the service if he wanted to do it. And he said, I don't know how. And I said, I'll show you. And he's done exceedingly well. So we're proud of you, Kian. Thank you. Get engaged. Be part of it. All right. Whakatata. Can everyone say whakatata? Fantastic. So tata, as you'll probably know because you've read in English, it's to be very beside. Like, I am now tata ki tēnei pouaka. I'm very beside this box, okay? So if there's a whaka before a word in te reo Māori, it's about making it happen, okay? It's an action sort of thing. So if I said to someone, whakapai te tepu, I'm saying clean up the table, okay? Make it clean. I could say, oh, he pai te tepu, I'm saying it is clean. But if I said whakapai te tepu, I'm saying make it clean, okay? So the scripture says, whakatata atu ki te atua. Okay, it's actually a call. Do something, all right? And the thing is, and we know that because you've read in English, but the really cool thing about this is that I didn't see in English is whakatata atu ki te atua. Now, if I said haere mai, what am I saying to y'all? Come here, haere mai, haere mai. Cheer, cheer. If I said haere atu, it's a little bit rude, but what am I saying to you? Haere atu.
Go away.
Go away, exactly, Richard. Fantastic. So the first thing I just want to encourage you with tonight, as you draw near to God, whakatata ki te atua, it's you're actually getting out of yourself. To draw near to God, you've got to move out of your space, okay? And to draw near to God, he's saying, I want you to step towards me and get out of that environment, get out of that situation, because it's probably not where you should be, okay? It's probably the wrong place for you right now. So the atu is what you say to yourself. You're not saying haere atu to someone else. You're saying haere atu to yourself. You're saying get going to yourself and get near to God. Move out of your current place. Move out of your current way of thinking. Move out of your current circumstances, those friend circles, those things that are pulling you away from God. Whakatata atu. Get a move on and do something. Because God is willing to move close to you. And you'll see that next line. Ka whakatata mai. Kia koutou, because God is willing to come and draw near. He's willing to come close and move towards you. God is willing to move towards you. And we know because the Bible promises that God is with us always. But we also know because it says right here that God resists the proud. He resists the proud. So I want to present to you the first reason why we might feel like, I just feel like, why God might actually pull back a little bit. Like, God's only going to pull back from you because he loves you, okay? And one of the things he resists is the proud. Is the proud. Who said, this one says sinners. Because sinners is right too, because sin is the byproduct of pride. We all try and do things our way. And so God resists the proud, okay? And because God loves us, he's willing to hold back from us when we're getting that arrogant and up ourselves, to be quite honest, okay? Because God loves us, he's willing to hold back a little bit so we can see our need for him. I believe we've probably all tried doing life our way. I know I have. I know I've spent probably a couple years of my life as a young man running away from the knowledge of God I had. I knew God loved me. And I actually knew it because I got told about it, and I probably experienced it to degrees as a kid. But as I got older, I decided I didn't want a bar to do with it because it was stopping me from having fun, wasn't it? That's what I thought. And so I kind of pulled away from God, and in my arrogance and in my pride, I started to do life my way. And God actually stayed with me. He loved me, and he did not forsake me. He did not forsake me, but I felt I was separated from God a little bit. And it's not like he didn't see what I was up to. It's not like he was like, all right, Luke, I'm turning and walking away from you, because he didn't, because he gently drew me back to himself. He was always working on me, but there was a degree and an aspect where he resisted my way of living and he left me to my own devices because he loved me. And I got to the point. And I don't know if I've told some of the young people the story where I was laying in the mattress bed of my bongo van because I thought it would. And I was sleeping in my bongo van, thinking about my lifestyle, my choice, and all my mates I was hanging out with. And I was like, God, I've actually abandoned everything I know to be real. I've left it all behind because I thought I knew how to do life my way. I thought I knew how to have a good time. And I was really honest with God in that moment, and I said, God, I'm sorry. Like, I actually need you. Laying in the back of my silly van with my silly setup, thinking I was being cool in the party van, feeling so alone, feeling so rejected, feeling so like it's all meaningless. And in that moment, the God came to me, because God gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. You see, the beautiful thing about the gospel is it's not just willing to point out that you're a sinner. It will do that. It will point out that you need him. But the gospel, when you realize and you're willing to turn from your sin, when you're willing to turn from your arrogance, when you're willing to say, God, I need you more than anything else, and I don't want to do it my way, he gives grace to the humble, and he says, Karawe, whakatata mai ki a koe. He's going to draw near to you. He's going to draw near to you because I'm getting out of myself, because you're getting out of yourself. And you're like, okay, I've got that sorted, Luke. Tell me I don't know. Here's the thing. I still struggle with pride. I still have moments where I'm like, oh, man, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, look at them. What are they up to? Like, what's that all about? And I think if we are honest, and I hope we are, please be honest with me tonight so I don't feel alone. We all have moments of pride, okay? We all have moments where we think we're a little bit better than someone else. We have moments where we think we know that a little bit better, or we think those thoughts. And at the end of it all, struggling with continuous sort of sin that we're not willing to give to God or seek God in, because we're like, I want to do it my way. And at the bottom of it all, I believe a lot of this comes back to pride. And if you feel like that sounds pretty harsh tonight, you might need to hear it. You might need to hear it, because God loves you so much, he doesn't want you to stay there. He doesn't want you to stay there. He doesn't want you to stay proud. He doesn't want you to stay arrogant. He doesn't want you to stay thinking, I know better than you. I mean, you probably know better than me. I mean, I'm not all that onto it, but I am trying to be faithful to the word of God tonight. I am trying to be faithful to the word. All right. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. Here's the cool thing. Just as God resists the proud, we are called to resist the devil, because that is the journey heading back to him. As soon as we start resisting that tempter, that devil, that voice in your head that says, you're better than them. Dude, don't do it that way. God didn't really mean that. As soon as you start to resist that, you're going to find the grace of God move in that moment. You find the power of God start to draw you near, because he was never going to leave you hanging. I did everything I could, I believe, to get away from God. I was a real Jonah, you know. God's like, Luke, actually as a young man received the word of knowledge saying that you're going to be an evangelist. And I was like, psych, I'm really scared to tell people about Jesus. I'm out of here. And I don't know if that's true yet or not, or what that means. I'm thinking about Jesus, so I guess there's evangelism right there. But I did everything I could, I believe, to run away from God. And if half of the gospel just says God resists the proud, if it just says God calls you a sinner, if it just says, hey, you're not enough to earn the grace of God, so psych. If it just stops there, then I was a wreck of a man and I was lost forever. But the greatest news ever is it doesn't stop there, and God's always drawing you. He's always bringing you near because he loves you. So if you feel like God is resisting you tonight, if you feel like God's like giving you a hard time tonight, it's probably because he loves you. It's definitely because he loves you. He loves you. He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Come under him. Stop doing it your way. Stop being all up yourself, please. I'll promise I'll try and stop being up myself. I promise I will try and stop being that too. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I was at youth group. Some of you guys were at youth group on the night of Thursday night, and I was like, how do you draw near to God? And there were some really good answers. Do any of you guys remember those answers? Jacob, do you remember one?
Reading the Bible.
Reading the Bible, coming to church. Kian, do you remember one? Getting baptized. Yeah, these are really cool things, right? These are really cool things. Read your Bible, go to church, get baptized. And these are all super cool, draw near to God. But here, let's keep it simple right now. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Bible says, first things first, repent. Repent of what you're up to. Look at things. Look at these ringa-ringa. Heroi o koutou ringa-ringa. Wash them up. Say to God, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. I realize there's a duty in my life. And he's not saying, clean yourself up so that I can come near to you. He's making you clean. He said, I've already drawn near to you. He said, like, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Now wash your hands. Now wash your hands, you sinners. So I'm not sorry, but I'm calling you sinners tonight. I'm calling us all sinners tonight. Amen. Because the gospel doesn't stop there, though. It doesn't stop there, so we can keep going. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. In Te Reo Māori, it says, ngā kau rua. Your heart's in two places. You've got two allegiances. You're giving yourself to more than one thing. It just doesn't work. Wash your hands. Purify your hearts. Lament, and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. This is so good. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and lift you up. Because there's a plan. And all of this hard stuff that God's leading you through, he wants to lift you up. He wants to bring you up. He wants to see you move from your current place. He wants to see you grow. God loves you so much. He loves you so much, he's going to meet you where you're at. But he loves you so much, he's not going to leave you where you're at. Okay? And so if it feels like God's pulling back from you, it's because you need to learn something. We all need to learn something here tonight. We all need to acknowledge, like, God, I'm gonna wash my hands. I'm going to be more loyal to you in my heart. I'm going to stop being double-minded and hearted, having twin allegiances. I'm going to be loyal to you, Lord, and be humble and seek you because I know you're willing to draw near to me. I know that you're willing to lift me up. God gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud because he loves us. He loves us. And I'm emphasizing this because I know that we can do both. We're in both parties, I believe. There are moments where I'm like, bro, I have it sorted. I am so humble. And it's like, ironic, Luke, you are now just getting a bit arrogant and proud. I think there's moments where we feel like we're getting confident, don't we? And we start relying on ourselves. There's moments where we feel like, I've got this Christian game on lock, homie. I've got it. I've learned how to raise my hands properly. I've learned the right moment to bring it down to half. I've learned the right moment to be like both hands out. I've learned the right moment to like, I don't know. Sometimes these are thoughts in my head, okay? And we feel like we're getting good at the Christian game, and the irony is we're getting proud. The irony is we're getting self-reliant, and God doesn't want that. He loves us too much for that, because when I'm self-reliant, what happens? I make a flaming mess of my life. That's what happens. I make a flaming mess of my life. It's true, I assure you. I was the messiest life out there. And the good news to us all, and the good news to me, is God loves me more than my sin. God loves me more than he's willing to let me sit in that place of pride and arrogance. He loves me too much to leave me there, and he's willing to lead me through a hard place of saying, okay, God, I am being a little bit of a munus here. I'm being a little bit silly. I want to use stronger language, but we're in church tonight. I'm being a muppet. And God, you're willing to lead me out of that place. Because God, I get a preaching on I'm being a muppet. Hallelujah. He's willing to lead me out of that place. But I was laying in that bongo van. And as I was aware of my circumstance and my situation, I said, okay, God, I'm willing to move out of this place. I'm no longer wanting to do things my way. I don't want to keep hitting up all the parties and sleeping in my van thinking it's cool. Like, it's dumb. Like, it was actually dumb. I'm not going to live life my way, trying to find my own pleasure, trying to find my own success and my own strength. I'm not going to do it anymore, God. I'm not going to do it. And in that moment, I mean, that was, I believe, more powerful than pretending at 100 altar calls. It was more powerful than pretending at 100, you know, Christianese moments. It was more powerful because I was actually sincerely saying, God, I am willing to move. I am willing to say I'm moving away from myself. I'm not just pretending. I'm not just playing the game anymore. I'm willing to move away from myself. I'm willing to whakatata ata to him. I'm willing to move out of myself and out of this situation. I'm willing to change to move towards him. And the beautiful thing, guys, the beautiful thing that happens, what happens? He moves towards us. And he begins to empower the very obedience he asks of us. He begins to empower us. Guess what? Who washes away your sin? Jesus does. When he says, wash your hands, he's not just saying, wash your hands, guys. He's saying, I will wash you. I will cleanse you. Who lifts you up? He does. Who purifies your heart? He does. He's not like some ridiculous taskmaster saying, as you draw near to me, I've got a list of things for you to do now. This is the gospel. You are filthy sinners. I'm a filthy sinner, but he saved me and he's redeemed me and he's lifting me up and he's lifting you up tonight. He's lifting you up tonight. Look at these hands. Look at your hands. Those are created for good work. Because he loves you, and he's given you a purpose and a plan. You've got something to do on this earth. Look at these things. They're funny little things. You guys giggling. You might be because you're on drugs, all right? Sorry. These are created for good work. And yet, what happens when we get proud? What happens when we do it our way? They turn into things that hurt people. They hurt ourselves. They take things. They do terrible things. God's created these for good work. And he wants them to be cleansed and he wants them to be purified because he wants you to do amazing things with these hands, with your body, with your heart. This heart, it's a beautiful thing, yet it becomes corrupted. Your mind is a beautiful thing, it becomes corrupted. And God is willing to purify you. He loves to do that because he loves you. Will you draw near? Will you draw near? Will you make that move? Some might say the scripture is we make the first move, God makes the second. But I do believe God's always making the first move. He's always drawing us near. He's always pulling us close. I did everything I could to run away from him, and he never abandoned me. Sure, he resisted my lifestyle and made me realize I need him. But it's not like he left me hanging. He drew me gently back to him, and I got to a place where I was like, God, I'm drawing near to you. I'm willing to change. I'm willing to move. Will you see your sin? Will you see your pride the way he does? Are you willing to go through the pain of being honest with yourself and with God? Lament and mourn. Get upset and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. This is not to say you guys need to be depressed. As Christians, it's not it. It's see your sin as it is. See the brokenness as it is, and don't be stoked about it, you know? Don't just pretend it's all good. Don't just shrug it off. But humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know, someone else was lifted up. Someone was lifted up on a cross. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, was lifted up on a cross. He took the ultimate road of humility and servanthood to save the world, to change the world, to bring hope to the world. Tonight I'm telling you, don't leave hearing you're a filthy sinner. Don't leave here thinking that. Leave here knowing that although we were sinners, he saved us by his grace because Jesus hung on a cross for our sins. God always intended to lift you up because he lifted the Son of Man on a cross to die for our sins so that we could be redeemed, so that no longer does God resist the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, to those who receive the Son, to those who receive the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Will you draw near tonight? Will you come out of yourself? This is a daily decision to say, God, I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to trust in the power of the cross once more. I'm going to trust in the goodness of grace. I'm going to trust in the goodness of my God. I'm going to trust that God is with me. I won't give in to those thoughts. I won't give in to that lifestyle. I won't give in to that sin. I won't use these hands for evil anymore. God, wash them. God, cleanse my heart. God, renew my mind. I'm looking to the cross. I'm looking to what Jesus has done to wash away that sin, because he is drawing near to you, if you will draw near to him. The band can probably join me now. Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly all fluffy rainbows and clouds, is it? We all desperately need Jesus. The human condition is terrible without Jesus. We know that. But we just sometimes pretend it's not. And so as we get comfortable religiously, like comfortable, we sometimes start relying on ourselves religiously too. And I think we've got to continue to be sincere and real with Jesus and say, I'm not just going to get comfortable religiously, but I'm going to keep on being real with you, Jesus, and drawing near to you, Jesus. Keep on drawing near. Keep on moving out of this place of your comfort zone of this is where I'm at and this is where I'm meant to be, or this is where I have a right to be, you know. I just want Jesus desperately more than anything else. I want to be near to God desperately more than anything else.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.